Thank you Brother Tom. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, teacher Sunday school class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? The Lord will bless you for it. I can't, but He can and He will. Already heard about it this morning. It's a blessing in itself to read the Bible. We might read about that here in a little bit. Remind me what book we're in.
Revelation.
Revelation is correct. That's good enough for right now. Jehovah God Almighty,
right.
Come down to be with us, God with us. I missed it. I had ears and couldn't hear. Brother Charlie, would you pray for us, please? Pray. Remember Sister Agnes, Sister Ken.
Yes.
And then we need help. Okay, now we've got to tell Brother Boyd what we've been learning. Now, what book are we in?
Revelation.
Revelation. How many revelations are there?
One.
One? Who's it belong to? John the Baptist?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is right. Who wrote it?
God wrote it.
God wrote it. What did he do with it?
Passed it down.
He gave it to Jesus is right. But what did he do with it?
He gave it to an angel.
He gave it to the angel, Sister Vicky, star student. That's right. What did the angel do with it? He gave it to John. Right. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. That's exactly right. He gave it to me. Amen. Okay. What verse do we find our outline in? Chapter 1. 119 is correct. What does the things which thou hast seen, what period of time does that go with?
In the past.
I asked him what chapter. One is correct, Sister Trista. What's the things which are go with? What period of time?
Present.
The present is correct. What chapters go with that? 2 and 3. This is the church age. The chapters 2 and 3 get 7 letters to 7 churches, or 1 letter to each of the 7 churches. What's the things which thou have shalt be hereafter, or see hereafter go with?
Future.
The future is correct. What chapters?
The rest of them.
Four to the end. What's our two main themes? Hallelujah. Adore his person and accept his plan. The front row is doing great. Okay, now we're still trying to introduce the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of things that started in Genesis that end in Revelation. We'll be looking at those. Genesis tells us where we came from. Revelation tells us where we're going.
Right.
And the book of Romans tells us how to get there.
Right.
Now, one thing that started in Genesis was the seas. God gathered together the dry land in one place and then the waters in another place, and he called it sea. Over in Revelation 21, it says, no more sea. God started it in Genesis. It's going to end in Revelation. Over here in Genesis chapter 1, we have the first half of his wife Eve reigning over the earth.
2 weeks in a row.
Over here in Revelation, we got the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his wife, the church, reigning over the universe. Over here in chapter 1 in Genesis, verse 5, the sun and the moon were created. Over here in Revelation, there's no need for the sun and the moon. Because the Lamb is going to be the light. There, we won't need no night. Well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Over here in Genesis 1, day and night were created. Over here, chapter 22, Revelation, no more night. Be one big day. We all get there the same day, Brother Garth says. Over here in Genesis chapter 3, God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Over here in Revelation 22, no more curse.
Right.
No more curse. No more the floor. Yeah. No
That's
more
right.
curse.
Amen.
Over here in Genesis chapter 3, the tree of life is denied to sinful man. Over here in Revelation 22, let's read that. I got verses for all these, but I didn't want to put you out or nothing. Let's look at chapter 22, Revelation 22, 2. It tells about the tree of life. It says, in the midst of the street of it, well, let me back up to 1, 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Over here in Genesis chapter 3, Satan appears for a little while to torment man. Over here, Sister Trista, how about you reading this one? In Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to just start there about verse 6 down through 10. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, man's early home is by a river. Over here in Revelation, I just read it in chapter 22, man's eternal home is by a river. I like the river. I like to buy the river. Over here in Genesis, Abraham weeps for Sarah in chapter 23. Over here in Revelation, chapter 21, the children of Abraham have God to wipe away their tears forevermore. No more tears. Over here in Genesis chapter 19, God destroys an earthly city. Over here in Revelation 21, God brings a heavenly city down from heaven, from the sky. Over here in Genesis chapter 50, the book ends with a believer in a coffin. Over here in Revelation chapter 19, the book ends with all believers reigning forever in eternity.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Let's look at chapter 1 there. We're still trying to get chapter 1 started. Here's one thing I hadn't mentioned. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now this signified, the book of Revelation is a book of signs. The root word for signify is sign. There's all kinds of signs in here. And sometimes signs are better, the Lord knows when, because words change their meaning. Like, for instance, the dead shall, or we shall not prevent or get in front of those that's dead when the Lord comes back. And prevent, the word has changed its meaning over the years. But signs don't change. And so that's one reason there's signs. Now, in this book, the lamps are going to be, the lamps are a sign, a picture of the churches. And the stars, as saw in chapter 1, represent the angels, or maybe the pastors and messengers. And then there's incense for the prayers of the saints. That's just some of the signs that we're going to see in the book of Revelation. Now, let's see if we start chapter 1. That's all been introduction for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, let's look at why. Why we got the Revelation. It's in verse 3. It was given to the churches. You already told me that. I'm talking about why was it given to the churches? Why did Trista get her own personal copy? Why do you have a copy? It's in chapter... Yeah, it's in chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth.
Right.
Read it, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you don't keep it, you're not going to be able to read it. I'd hold on to it.
Yeah.
It's what I'd do. I wouldn't let nobody change it. I wouldn't let nobody monkey with it. I'd hold on to it. And the reason you're going to keep it is so you can read it and hear it. That's the main reason. The Beatitudes, we read those last week. We already saw this. Now the reason for the message is also in verse 3. It says, for the time is at hand.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows it's time.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody tells me it's time. It also says the same thing in verse 1. It says, these are the things which must shortly come to pass.
Yeah.
Now he's still coming.
Yeah. Right?
He's still coming, and it's just about time.
Yeah.
It's short. It's short time right now. That's the reason. That's the reason. The recipients of the message. You see it in verse 4. John to the seven churches. He gave it to the churches. You see it again in verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest. Write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. The theme, you already told me this morning. Tell me one more time. I'd just like to hear it. What's the theme? There's two themes.
Adore his person.
We're going to adore his person. We're going to look at him. We're looking at him.
Yeah,
right here,
yeah,
we saw him a while back there. What else? We're going to accept his plan. You know, I agree with it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not working for it. I agree that the Lord died for me, took my place. I agree. I accept the plan that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. I accept it.
Yeah.
I believe it. I'm going to go with it. In verse 5, he washed us. Look at verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I agree with that plan.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for the plan. I'm going to accept the plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to adore his person. In verse 6, he even washes us daily. It's a present tense sanctification.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and hath, present tense, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then in verse 7, he's going to glorify us in the future. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Let's look at that in Daniel 7. I don't understand it, but he is going to glorify us one day. Daniel 7, 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the sun, the big-ass Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the capital A, Ancient of Days, and that'd be the Almighty there, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is the everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Get another glimpse of it in Matthew 24, 30. Matthew 24, 30. A little bit more clear, really. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Yeah.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, also in verse 6, this is called, when it says But it's giving glory to God. I'm back in Revelation 1:6 now. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's one of those doxologies. We're going to high church there when we give Him the honor.
You know, once you highlight
that, there's another one in chapter 4, verse 11.
You don't have to double clear it.
A doxology. Yeah, I'm over here. This is one of my favorites. It says, Thou art worthy. He is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Not a regular Lord. It's, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Right. That's why you and I were created. It's for His pleasure. It wasn't so I could eat chocolate ice cream. It's for His pleasure. It's not for my pleasure. It's for His pleasure. We see another doxology for Him in chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory. See, this is the octopuses that's doing this. And the kangaroos and all the creatures and the elephants and the whales. They're all praising Him and giving Him glory. So Brother Rick could go ahead. It says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth, this is the eagles, and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the capital L Lamb forever and ever. See another doxology in 7:12. 7:12. Just before we praise Him a little bit. Revelation 7:12 saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now the location of the message, back in chapter 1. It's in verse 9. And I, John, who am, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. The location of this message, it was delivered on the island of Patmos. The time of the message is in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That's Sunday. That's the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. It's on the calendar that way, the first day of the week. It's easy to pick out. It's on the Lord's Day. The mode of the message is in verse 10 also. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It's delivered through the voice, a great voice, like a trumpet. You see that again in chapter 4, verse 1. This is the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar.
Right.
Chapter 4, verse 1. Going to start us into that future section. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. That's a picture of the rapture. That is the rapture.
Yeah.
In chapter 8, verse 2, we've got another trumpet going on here. Verse 1 shows there won't be any women in heaven. It says, And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Verse 2. We're going with verse 2 real fast. How about the mode of the message? It's a trumpet. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them which were given seven trumpets. The Son of God, His declaration is in verse 11. Let's go back to chapter 1. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. 12 through 16 is his portrait, his description. And really, the whole Bible is his description. That if I go, it's portrait. If I go in there changing it, it will change him.
Right.
It would be just like going in and putting brush marks on a famous painting. A Rembrandt or something. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. You ever seen a voice? John's looking at it.
Yeah.
He's looking at a voice. The voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden eagle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters.
Yeah.
And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And his countenance is as the sun shining in his strength.
Yeah.
That's his portrait. That's what he looks like. His deliverance is in 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John passed out. Maybe even died. I'm not sure. And he laid his right hand upon me, touched him, and saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He was dead, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, this is not the first time this happened. It happened seven other times, at least, that he touched somebody. How about Matthew 8? And they got over it. He touched them and they got over it. Guess what? He touched me and I got over it. Matthew 8, 14 and 15. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. And he touched her. Have you been touched? Has he ever touched her?
Come on.
And he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. It was immediate. There wasn't no therapy. He touched her.
And
she was over. She got over. Chapter 9, verse 27. It's not the only time it ever happened. It's not the only time. He touched you. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe he's able?
Yeah.
They said to him, Yea, Lord. And he touched. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. You believe it this morning?
Yeah.
Chapter 17. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. Luke 5. He touched them and they got over. John was dead, or like he was dead. And Jesus touched him and he got over. He wasn't dead no more. Verse 12, Luke 5:12. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately, no therapy, no chemotherapy, no shots, no pills, no doctor visits. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. In Luke chapter 7. And he came and touched the briar. The briar's a dead body. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead He was dead.
But
the Lord touched him.
Yeah.
He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and they delivered him to his mother.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. He touched him. And then John 9. In the last one. John 9, 6 and 7. When he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. When he anointed him, he touched him. Couldn't do it without touching him.
Right.
And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is my interpretation, sin. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now back to Revelation, verse 18 is what we read. And right at the end it says, as the Lord's talking, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." There's five keys in the New Testament, and the Lord Jesus Christ has all of them. He has all of them. This is one of them. Here's another one in Matthew 16, 19. Matthew 16, 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Yeah. Do you have him in your heart?
Yeah.
Have you received Christ? He's the one that died and was buried and rose again for you. Luke 11. Luke 11, 52. "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." They're trying to change it. They're trying to take away the key of knowledge. And then Revelation 9:1 will be the last one. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." And we already saw what's going to happen there. And let's go back to chapter 1, verse 19. Now here's his definition. That was his description, his deliverance. Now his definition in 19 and 20. "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." The stars are the angels, the candlesticks are the churches. And hallelujah, amen on chapter 1. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down.